Welcome to Philadelphia. The marathon will start soon. Don't forget to tie your sneakers and have a good run.
With this baby, we'll never be lost. I remember a character in an animated movie saying that apropos of a GPS, only to be disproved one frame later. Pretty much my case. I mean, in the movie, they lost the GPS. I got lost because of a GPS. I must have messed up the programming, or they changed the route last minute. Anyway, here I am in a place that is anywhere but where I should be. Mud sticks under my running shoes. It sucks them in. Ugh, disgusting. No amount of washing will save them. And the worst part? It was only the beginning of the race. At least, usually, I don't get lost until at least mid-race. At the beginning, all the runners are there, you're in a group, you just need to follow the flow. Not getting lost is easy, even for me. I suppose the conclusion one can take from this is, don't trust technology. I look at the small GPS device in my hand, silent and useless, searching for a signal from another universe. I suppress the impulse to throw it in the swamp, but honestly, every time I feel its weight jump in my shorts pocket, part of me wishes I had. I'm cold. My outfit for autumn marathons, a t-shirt and shorts, is not at all suited for the humid climate of a smelly swamp. It isn't long before I begin shivering, my teeth rattling. Guess I'll warm up with movement if I don't collapse first. Let me tell you, running almost a whole marathon in a swamp wasn't in the program. I've never been a cross-country fan, to say the least. Too much grass and mud. It's funny how recently the portals have sent me anywhere but in a city. Wonder if they're trying to tell me something. Running in the mud is torture, each step a struggle. Where my run should be light and low, this mud forces me to keep it heiny and heavy, the perfect recipe to consume all my energy in a moment. Around what I believe should be the first 2 kilometers of running, I feel like I've been running already a half marathon. What the heck? What the hell is this? Fishing nets that somehow managed to roll all around my body. I'm a human sausage. I lift my head as much as possible to cross eyes with what looks like a kid. They are stomping their feet. I call the usual translation spell.
My nets, you ruined my nets.
More like the nets ruined me. Sorry, I got tangled. Help me here, please.
I've worked so hard on those.
It's hard to discern their face in this rising fog. When they come close, they look humanoid? One head, 2 arms, 2 legs, but there is also something amphibian about them. Imagine a frog stuck in the middle of becoming human. What's your name, kid? Now, I said kid because they are small and with a high-pitched voice, but I know from experience, appearances can be tricky.
My mom told me not to speak with strangers.
Yep, definitely a kid. I suppose part of becoming adults is to actually accept you have to talk with strangers. Wise advice. I don't tell them things like, but I'm not a stranger, or give them my name in exchange for theirs. They circle around me, but don't dare to touch. I feel a bit like an animal at a zoo. Must be the net.
You are a strange one. How did you come here?
Magic. The answer comes naturally. Explaining why I look how I look in worlds where humans supposedly don't exist is always tricky, but I feel magic is a good answer. Either this world knows magic, and the answer is acceptable, or it doesn't, and my answer will be taken as a joke. Both cases are fine. And if magic is prohibited, I'm talking with a child. The risk is minimal.
Magic doesn't exist.
If you free me, I'll show you some tricks. Come on, these ropes hurt.
I can't, I don't know how to.
The nets weren't meant to tangle like this. Fine. Do you have a knife?
for emergencies.
They show me a pocket knife. Small, but enough to do the job. Great. You can cut the ropes.
And ruin my work? No way.
I will help you fix this.
I bet you would run away.
Free to believe that, but we can't stay like this all day. Unless you want to cook me in a stew. You don't want to cook me in a stew, do you?
Oh, no.
Then free me. I won't run.
Promise?
Cross my heart.
What's a heart?
It's, never mind. I promise. Now please, can you free me? My body is falling asleep. It takes fewer cuts than feared to allow me to disentangle from the net, but as it is now, it still looks in pretty bad shape.
Wound!
They look on the verge of crying. I take the net gently from their hands. With the proper instruments, some more knots would be enough to fix this. But magic is a good substitute, too. And voila. All fixed.
Thanks.
In that pause, I can hear the insecurity of not daring to ask something. Do you need something else?
No, I can manage.
You sure? Those nets look complicated.
I've been dealing with them since I was 5. I can manage.
They even stick out their chest as they say this. Kids' pride must be a universal thing. I don't insist. They seem good to get on their own, and probably it's all part of them growing up. Meanwhile, my stomach sinks when I remember how long I still need to run. It's not so much the distance, it's the place.
What are you doing?
I stop before I've even run 100 meters. Given our recent dialogue, I feel a bit... Guilty as charged. I'm running. I helped you. Now we're even.
My mom says only bad people run when they have to escape from something.
That's limiting. I, for example, run for fun. And the challenge. I mean, yes, humans probably started to run to escape from what wanted to eat them. The second step was to chase some other things to eat them. Running is in our feet. It's part of human nature.
I watched you. You weren't having fun.
There's fun and fun. You ever run? Feel the wind against your face? The earth beating the rhythm beneath your feet?
Only when I'm in trouble.
Their structure isn't very suitable, I must say. I don't offer for them to run with me. I don't want them to get hurt, and I'm already struggling to maintain a regular rhythm myself. I can't worry about their pace, too. How far before this swamp ends?
It doesn't.
What do you mean, it doesn't?
I mean, it goes on and on. Some travelers claim to have reached its ending and that there's a range of mountains there, but they're mostly just stories.
That was more likely. Though a whole planet covered in a swamp wouldn't be impossible. Horrifying, yes. Impossible? Not so much. As I continue running while speaking, I expect them to turn around and return to their fishing, or whatever they were doing with the nets. Can frogs eat fish? What about human frogs? Well, instead, they follow me, one net slung over their small shoulder. We don't talk much, and that's fine. I'd rather save my breath for later than for small talk. Running a marathon is long. I would expect this kid to speak, though. Kids are usually pretty chatty. Not this one.
You don't seem like having fun.
I swear, there's fun. Just a different type. And that's it. We part ways around what I believe is the 10th kilometer, at a fallen trunk set transversely like an improvised border. I look at the kid.
It's the end of our fishing territory.
Okay. Then don't fish.
No, we can't enter. It's fair. If you can't enter, you can't fish.
If you can't enter, you can't fish. I move aside what looks like a willow branch. Its leaves prickle my fingers. Thanks for having kept me company.
It was nice. Keep an eye out for blips.
Blips?
Insects. innocuous, but this thing hurt.
Flips may be innocuous, but they are big, fat, hairy, and creepy. One is as big as my forearm. I debate whether or not to turn around to a more bug-free area, but returning to my previous path will make me cross again with that kid, and their nets are all over the place. Not worth risking ruining them a second time. I am much bigger than these insects. No reason to be afraid. They look like bees. They must act like them as well. No harm from no harm. No harm from no harm. Water sloshes at almost knee level. Soon I'll be swimming this race. Give me a bike and I can turn this into a triathlon. A plip buzzes around my head, occasionally bumping against my hair with their long legs. It tickles. I wave my hand as gently as possible to make it go away. At least they aren't. I shake my head and start counting my steps before even finishing the thought. One insect I haven't encountered yet, and certainly I don't wish to. Ah! Imagine a mosquito. Now make it bigger. The nightmare is served. I turn on my heels, the movement so quick and sudden I almost twist an ankle. I'll run what I've got left backwards, find another route, I'll be careful with the nets or repair them, whatever it takes for me to run a marathon in this swamp. A thought crosses my mind as I run over a path I already crossed, but again, I shake it away. The portals will work, even if I don't run on a straight path. Only straight I ever get. I mean, it would be ridiculous, right? Why would direction be more important than distance? Besides, lots of marathons are in a circuit. I'm not ruining my chance just because I changed direction. You know, as strange as it may sound, running in the swamp is getting easier. The sound of mud has something soothing in it. Now that I've found the right equilibrium or pacing, I'm not even trudging that much anymore. It's all in weight and the way it's distributed. Light, fast steps, as if I'm trying to walk on water. Fishing nets peer out from the mud and among the wet trees. From time to time, something moves, caught in their loops. Somebody will bring home dinner today. As I run, the swamp opens before me. Flips hover above my head with their big, fuzzy bee bodies stuck in a single spot, fur reflecting the feeble sunlight. I suppose there was no real reason for me to be afraid. A mosquito with a proboscis as big as a needle is a completely different matter. Yet, there is a beauty in here that I hadn't noticed before. The moss growing at the base of the tree trunks is a green so deep it's almost black, looking rich and soft. The temptation to touch it is so strong. Small yellow flowers cascade from branches, crisscrossing in a natural tunnel. Nature is its full glory, just like that jungle. I should learn to enjoy these travels more. But not this time. The exhaustion in my guts and legs is the one of an ending. My leaving ticket. Any moment now.
A 195 is written and directed by Gwendolina Cilli, with additional script editing by Chris D and Kelly Shaw, intro music by Ray Vargas, podcast logo by CJ Ardison, sound editing by Amanda Rainey. The announcer is played by Amanda Rainey. The runner is played by Justin Maturay. This episode also featured Anna Potts as the Frog Kid. A special thanks to Gracia Oliveira for their enthusiasm and continuous support. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, review and subscribe. If you wish, you can support us on Patreon/A195podcast or tip us on our coffee page. Do you want to talk or do you have questions? You can visit us on our website at a195podcast.com. where you'll find social media links and contact information. Or you can write at a195podcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, it's just one step after the other.
And now, a curiosity. Women were forbidden to take part in official marathon until the Marathon of New York City, the 21st of October, 1979, and the first female winner was Grete Waitz, a teacher from Norway.